Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1878. Orlena rode down the drive and into the stable yard, and as the groom came out to meet her, she called out, "I have had a marvellous ride on Sunshine today, Hancock, and he is getting better than he has ever done."
"'Cause it be you a-riding him, Miss Orlena," Hancock answered. "But then he most certainly be a fine horse."
"I thought that when I first saw him," Orlena said, "and I seldom make a mistake."
"That be true enough, miss," Hancock agreed.
Orlena dismounted, patted Sunshine, which was her favourite horse, and walked towards the house. It was a very old and attractive house, but as her beloved mother had often complained about it, right in the middle of nowhere. There were very few neighbours, and since Orlena had grown up, she had been to practically no balls or parties with people of her age. There was a hunt ball in the autumn, which all the county patronised. Otherwise, she had to be content with riding her father's fine horses and enjoying the beauty and grace of the countryside. Fortunately, she had always loved the country, so she did not miss having a season in London as a debutante. That was made impossible because her mother had died just 2 months before she was 18. Orlena had completed the long, traditional year of mourning, and after that she had felt too old to contemplate going to London as a debutante, and instead she had been content to stay with her father in the country. Sir Nicholas Runford was an historian. He spent his time writing books on ancient history, which delighted the scholars, but were not of much interest to anyone else. He had his first book published soon after he had left Oxford University, and because it had been acclaimed by the newspapers as the book of the year, he had settled down to study the history of the world. A number of people spoke of him with reverence and admiration. But, unfortunately, the general public did not understand what he was writing about, and did not buy his books. Luckily, there was insufficient money to keep up his beautiful Elizabethan house and his small estate. He did not, however, give Orlena what she should have, and that was the company of her own contemporaries, and a chance to show that she was, indeed, just as beautiful and intelligent as any of them. Pure ethereal beauty had become popular since the Prince of Wales had been attracted by Lily Langtry. He took her everywhere with him, just as if she was a prized possession that he wished to show off to the world. Everyone talked about the great beauties to be seen in London, and Orlena herself had often wondered a little wistfully if she might have followed in their trail. Her mother had been acclaimed a beauty, and Orlena was very much like her. But sadly there was no one to pay her compliments or to accord her the homage and deference that the other beauties received. She was therefore completely unself-conscious and had no idea how lovely she actually was. Now, as she walked into the house, the pictures of her ancestors looked down at her with what she hoped was approval. The Runford men had all been very handsome and the women exceptionally beautiful. Even allowing for a degree of artistic license, they were all breathtaking. Orlena thought that she should now go upstairs and change from her riding habit into a gown, but because the sun was shining so brightly, she felt that it was somehow a waste of time, when she would much prefer to go out into the garden. Tea was already being laid in the drawing-room, and she knew that the old butler, who had been with them since she was a child, would, when the tea was ready, fetch her father from his study. Sir Nicholas, she knew, would, as usual, resent being interrupted, but he felt that it was his duty.